You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend. And joining us today is one of our show guests who started out right before the holidays, and we're going to try and have her on regularly, and that is Jennifer Tarani. And she is a registered dietitian, licensed, and she is also the owner of archaicnutritionandlifestyle.com. That is the website that you can go to. And we're going to talk a little bit about something that follow up on what Jennifer talked about before the holidays. Jennifer, first of all, thank you so much for being with us here today.
My pleasure.
Now, one of the things that we talked about before the holidays, of course, the fact that there was a lot of feasting, a lot of tempting treats, foods, and was something, you know, difficult for most of us. And after the new year, and here we are already in February, it's hard to believe it, this year is already whizzing by. A lot of people make the traditional resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. They go out and purchase treadmills or other exercise equipment that by now are probably just, you know, coat racks or something that they use for. And we're going to talk a little bit about how some people can deal with that and what they need to do. So first of all, when someone makes a resolution, and most, again, as I said, a lot of those resolutions are about losing weight, getting healthy, eating better. What is the problem with doing something like that, and why do people fail?
So the first thing is January, we're all excited. It's New Year, and then we've maybe gained a few pounds, and we want to lose those pounds. Or we say, like, okay, I want to lose 10 pounds, and we create a resolution around that. However, by around this time, exactly this time, it's early February, we lose steam by the end of January. And then we go back to our guilt and shame of having abandoned our resolutions. We make resolutions to start off our new year with great vibes and all hyped about different things in life. Some people make resolutions around health. Some will make around finances. Some will make around wanting a new job. But the main problem with resolutions is it's very broad and restrictive. So what I recommend is to work on short-term goals, like going for a yoga class. So that is a resolution that is very specific and very restrictive. So if you say, like, okay, I'm going to go to the yoga class 3 times a week, what if you are not able to go? What if life happens and you're not able to go, and then you're going to be guilty about it? And resolutions always tend to focus on fixing the flaws rather than addressing something deeper. So it's more artificial. You'll go to yoga class for 3 times a week, maybe 1 week, next week, but it's not. It's possible that you don't enjoy it, but you do it anyways because you've made that New Year resolution to lose 10 pounds. And then resolutions are nagging. They remind you of your shortcomings instead of something that helps you embrace life. So think about it. The resolution of losing weight implies that you're currently overweight. That's a negative thing. And something like traveling more can trigger self-criticism at having a lack of adventure in your existing life. So you see, resolutions, you're trying to constantly rectify things, and you're focusing more on negatives, trying to improve them. So in my opinion, it's not very mindful when you make resolutions.
So what do people need to do instead? Should they, you know, a lot of times say, well, you know, I'm intent on doing this, I'm intent on doing that. But what would be the difference between an intention and a resolution?
So personally, I decided last year that the idea of resolution per se did not put me in the right frame of mind. I would make resolutions like every other person and couldn't keep up with them. And then I would be very guilty about it. And then I would try to keep rectifying and making sure that I meet my New Year's resolutions. And sometimes I just wouldn't care and forget about the resolutions. So then early last year, I decided to change something. And so instead, I set intentions. They are basically bite-sized goals. So it's a word, sankalpa, It comes from Sanskrit, which means good intention. And it's digging deeper into what you actually want. So an intention is a change in mindset that leads to behavioral changes and eventually enable you to achieve your good health, your career goals, or your family-related goals. So a good intention basically nurtures your consciousness and significantly raises your awareness. Instead of superficially talking about, I'm going to lose 10 pounds or I'm going to go get that job. But intention is actually making you dig deeper and find out why you want that other job or why you want to lose those 10 pounds. It gives you that deeper motivation. When you set an intention, you don't need to worry about your actions. It just flows. Your behavior changes, you set bite-sized goals, you achieve those goals, and then eventually you meet your whatever your resolution was, but through intentions.
Now, how does one go about setting an intention?
Right. So for that, I have a three-step process. It's very important for you to create an aura in the room, for example. Find a quiet place, maybe have scented candles or anything like that. It's the time to reflect on yourself, bring in more awareness. So you want to keep all the distractions away. And then you want to sit with a notebook and a pen and imagine. Just imagine, think what you want your life to look like in 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years down the line, your big picture, your dream. Think health, relationship, financial stability. Let's say you wanted your New Year's resolution to be, for example, I will lose 20 pounds, and you imagined yourself to be healthy in 2018 and the following years. Now use that resolution as a base for your specific intention. So imagination is step number one. That will help you set your specific intentions to meet that dream of yours. The second one is be specific and set positive intentions. So now pull out your notebook and pen and write down your specific intentions. So for example, you think like, I will replace empty calories with more vegetable calories, for example. That will help you to change your behavior that will eventually help with a completely healthy lifestyle and also eventually help you lose weight if that's what your long-term goal is. Or you can say, I will enjoy vegetables more in 2018. So the word enjoy is very, very important. The word joy, enjoy, these are very important. I think like in our stressful lives, we've forgotten to be present in the present moments. We stress about our future. We always keep making these targets for us that are very unrealistic. So when you start to find joy in the intentions that you've made and when you take those actions, that's going to be the key for you to achieve your dream, be it health, finance, or a career, anything like that. So let me share my 2018 intentions with our listeners. So my first intention is to meditate daily to help develop a calm mind. Second one is make self-care a priority. And third one is to enjoy exercise. So the third step in setting intentions is making a plan. And I will also share with our listeners how I made plans to make sure that I was able to unfold my intentions and really meet my intentions. So once you make your intentions, obviously you need a plan to uphold those intentions. So let's take my example, meditate daily. So my plan of action was, first thing I asked myself, how am I going to meditate daily? I don't even know how to meditate. I don't know where to start. So then I researched a few meditation apps. I asked friends for recommendations. I tried a few different apps and then focused on the fact that where I was getting the joy of meditating, which app was helping me do that. And so then I finalized on two different apps because they were giving me two different features. So I will share those apps with our listeners. The first one is called Calm, C-A-L-M. And the other one is called Simple Habits. A disclaimer, these are not sponsored. It's just I enjoy these apps, and that's why I'm sharing with our listeners. And I use them both. So they have techniques for sleeping meditation, for stress meditation, mindful eating meditation. There's a variety of meditation techniques that they teach through these apps. And I've really started to enjoy. So before closing my eyes at night, I want to calm myself down. I want to meditate. I want to breathe deep, because throughout the day, I probably haven't even like focused so much on myself than to fulfill on all my day's responsibilities. So that is my time to take in my vitamin O, which is oxygen, take few deep breaths, relax, and calm my mind, free my mind of all the thoughts, and then have a good night's sleep. The other intention I shared was make self-care a priority. So this is very personal to me. Making self-care a priority, it means that you're taking care of yourself first. It may seem selfish, but obviously in today's stressful world, if we are not taking care of ourselves, how are we going to take care of our family? How are we going to be alert and give our 100% at our job? How are we going to be able to spend quality time with our family? And how are we going to achieve our long-term goals? So we need to be a little selfish for ourselves and make self-care a priority. So what I did is I made an appointment with hairstylist, invested in few natural face masks, and ensured to take an hour just to do the things that I love. Nothing related to work, is just something that I enjoyed. So a few things that I really do enjoy is sometimes I can get creative and paint. So I like doing that. I like going out to parks for just a walk, and it's all distraction-free walk. I'm not taking anything. I'm not taking my phone. I just go and relax. Sometimes just creating new recipes. I'm a dietitian, so I enjoy cooking food. That is a therapy for me. And for me, it's a type of self-care because I'm nourishing my body with healthy recipes. That's also preventing me from eating fast foods, from junk foods, and things like that. I'm able to be creative in my kitchen and develop new recipes for my clients and for my patients. So those are some of the things that I have done. That's my plan of action to be able to uphold my two intentions of meditating daily and making self-care a priority.
One of the things, you know, we're taping here on this program is going to air on the 10th. And so next week is going to be Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And it was, some people are going to say, well, gosh, you know, I was doing so well. And now all of a sudden now I'm going to go out and have a big dinner or eat chocolate, eat cookies, all the stuff that people bring to the office or someone brings to my house. And so what advice would you give to someone on that, Jennifer, as far as, you know, what to eat, what not to eat, or staying away from?
So like our last radio recording, we talked about mindful eating. I'm still going to go back to that concept. Enjoy. Just find joy in eating and then tune in with your satisfaction signals. There's going to be temptations throughout the year. February is Valentine's Day. April would be something else. May would be your kid's birthday. June would be a wedding. You know, there's always going to be something going on. But if you tune in with your satisfaction and learn to get satisfied with smaller portions, then you never have to be guilty, feeling guilty about anything. You can definitely enjoy it. And then in that moment, you can also set an intention for that day, because intentions don't have to be for a month, for a year, or 2 years. Intentions could also be for that specific day. So on Valentine's Day, you can make an intention that you're going to get satisfied with a piece of candy and not feel guilty about it. Rather, you will enjoy the piece of candy. You will enjoy all the love that you receive on Valentine's Day, or you'll give a lot of love on Valentine's Day. And then you can make an intention follow up to that, that I will continue to give love, continue to receive love, continue to stay positive in my life. And so that could be a follow-up intention for someone.
Unfortunately, here on the border in El Paso area, we have a high incidence of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people take care of themselves, they do their best, and yet there are others who will say, well, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And the market, advertisers are always out there trying to get you whichever way they can. And so they'll offer the sugar-free this, sugar-free that, and sugar-free this, or use this kind of sweetener, this kind of sweetener. And as you mentioned before the taping we had back in December, when you're taking away something, you have to put something else in.
Right. So definitely if it's no sugar added or zero sugar, it obviously has artificial sweeteners in it. And like I said before, when you consume artificial sweeteners, it's going to make you crave more sweet foods. So for example, because Valentine's Day is coming up, I'm going to recommend our listeners maybe enjoy dark chocolate instead of regular milky chocolate, because dark chocolate has more antioxidants. So that will help. And it also has some caffeine that will help as well. But instead of milky chocolate, because obviously the milky chocolate has a lot more fat per serving, if there is no sugar, then there's going to be more fat. If it's a fat-free product, then it's going to have some other kind of ingredient in it that is artificial and that your body doesn't know how to digest, or your body is not very familiar with that ingredient, and then you can have side effects. So that's why, like I said, enjoy the regular product, but watch your portion sizes. That's very, very important. Because if you're not eating sugar-free, then eat fat-free again. Fat-free is not something I would recommend also, because it's going to have some other junk in it. So enjoy the regular product, but be mindful of the serving size. And then throughout the day, make sure you're nourishing your body really well. Because if you're thinking like, oh my God, I've eaten so many chocolates already, now I'm going to skip meals. No, it should be the other way around. You should be eating your breakfast with protein, with complex carbohydrates like 100% whole wheat bread or oatmeal. You should be eating your lunch and dinner, and then obviously you're satisfied, you're full because you've eaten balanced meals throughout the day. Then you're going to avoid eating a lot of candies. So you see, you can watch your portion sizes by nourishing your body throughout the day the same way you would any other day.
You mentioned before about taking snacks with you, healthy snacks. And one of the things you mentioned were nuts, walnuts specifically. Which nuts are better for you?
So all nuts are good. They have heart-healthy fats. Poly and monounsaturated fatty acids are the healthy fats. So you can, when you're packing snacks, you could do 8 to 10 almonds or 6 to 10 walnuts. Or you can even do pistachios or pecans. Pecans are also really good. They have selenium in it, and research studies have shown that it can help with depression. So you can incorporate nuts. Just be mindful that if you're mixing a couple different nuts, then you don't go overboard with the quantity, because like I said, it has healthy fats, but overdoing fats can also lead to more weight gain, because the nuts are calorically dense. So if you did almonds and pistachios, maybe do half and half, 6 almonds, 8 pistachios, and make a mixture. Or you could also do like a trail mix. Or a lot of other snacks include hummus with carrots, eating low-fat cottage cheese. You could also do a turkey slice with cucumbers. You can just eat cucumbers as a snack, or celery with peanut butter. So these are some examples of healthy snacks.
We talked a little bit about, well, We talked about at the beginning of the program about resolutions and setting goals. And, you know, for a while there, we still do have, I guess, fad diets, mm-hmm. where everything from Dr. Atkins, whether it be a liquid diet, whether it be Slim Fast or whatever, there's always something out there to grab the attention of people. And then there are the catchphrases like fat-free, cholesterol-free. And now it seems like perhaps the catchphrase that's out there all the time and some people may not understand or what it means, and that's organic.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what is good about getting organic, or what should people look for? And especially also another one is like non-GMO, the eggs that are, you know, cage-free, all that. Tell us a little bit about that.
So to talk a little bit about your first point, yes, there is a lot of misinformation out there. And I would highly encourage our listeners that if you do have diabetes, or if you do have high blood pressure, or if you do, if you are overweight, or if you're suffering from obesity or anything like that, I would highly encourage to seek a dietitian, because dietitians are usually the nutrition experts and they can give you the medical nutrition therapy that you need to help you with managing your blood pressure, managing your diabetes. So I see a lot of clients who are pre-diabetics, who have diabetes, and I do specific medical nutrition therapy for them to help them manage blood glucose, to help them manage their blood pressure, to even like improve their heart health. So things like that. So when you see a dietitian, you get accurate information, and then you can toss all the information, all the fad diets, all the superfoods out there, and then just focus on the recommendations that your dietitian is giving you. I know a lot of people think they are themselves nutrition experts, that they think that they can manage their diseases on their own until it's very late. You know, retinopathy is associated with diabetes. Retinopathy is losing your eyesight because of high blood sugars all the time. But you don't have to lose your eyesight to diabetes. You can definitely see a dietitian and seek some nutrition advice. And to answer your second question, organic. So there is a list we can share with our listeners another time, because it's now more updated list of some foods that you should always buy organic. So it's especially mainly the fresh produce list, and it's called Dirty Dozen list, but they have updated it recently, and I'm not very sure of the URL right now, but I can give it to you next time. But if you follow that Dirty Dozen list, then those products you should buy organic. So let's take an example of peaches. You eat peaches with the skin on. So that's why if you haven't washed the peach really well and the skin is very thin, so there is a high chance that the pesticides that have been used in growing peaches, you could also ingest those pesticides, and you can have detrimental effects, harmful effects because of those pesticide chemicals. On the other hand, if we take a look at a banana, you remove the peel of the banana, so it's not so important for you to buy organic bananas versus regular bananas, because either way, you're going to remove the peel. So those are the main differences. Also, another thing is when it comes to organic, the nutritional value. So I did a whole review on all the research studies that are out there and that talks about the nutrition value and compares the organic products from non-organic products. And research studies have not really found any nutritional benefits per se when you buy organic versus non-organic products. So if it's a packaged product, it's up to you if you can buy organic or not. But the main important thing is, if you can't afford organic, what's the point of trying to buy organic and not eating other whole foods? So, for example, if you're buying a $5 organic quinoa and you don't have enough money to buy fruits and vegetables, which are nourishing, it's pointless in you going and buying a boxed organic quinoa. You can just buy regular quinoa for $2 or whatever, how much ever quantity you need from Sprouts. And then you can just buy with the extra money the fruits and the vegetables that you need. So there is a big thing about organic and inorganic, but as a dietitian, I never even get into that topic. I don't recommend patients to go and buy organic versus non-organic. My main thing is for you to be able to eat whole foods. Yes, if you can afford everything organic, then go buy it, and then it's your personal choice.
We are visiting with Jennifer Tanani. She is a registered licensed dietitian, and she is a regular part of the weekend show, and we've been talking about New Year's resolutions and why they work and why they do not work. And Jennifer has been giving us some advice as to what to do, how to set intentions and how to set them and short-term goals. And instead of, you know, fixing the flaws, you need to just dig deeper. And that's what Jennifer has been sharing with us. Now, Jennifer, I mentioned at the beginning of the program, you have a website, archaicnutritionandlifestyle.com. When people go there to that website, what can they find?
So I have recently started my private practice. So I'm building on my website content. So mainly I try to write blogs associated with diabetes, high blood pressure, heart health, post different recipes and things like that. So I'm like in the process of developing my blog and create a database of healthy recipes for patients with diabetes, high blood pressure, or any who are looking for healthy snack recipes, healthy breakfast recipes. Because time and again, I know that it's a trend in America. People are very busy. They want to get out of the door in the morning, and they often skip breakfast. So one of my intentions is to develop more breakfast recipes so that people have a lot of recipes on hand that they can either pre-plan, make it ahead of time, and then just take it with them.
Perhaps there's a question or a topic that we didn't discuss here today. If people go to your website, can they ask a question, or is that something that is not available right now?
Yes. So I have my phone number, my email address, and also they can go to contact us page and they can ask me a question. I also have a tab that says book a 15-minute free consult. So I'm offering that service so that I want to learn more about the people I work with. I want to be able to make sure that I'm a good fit. Like I was saying, you need the right dietitian to be able to help you with your medical nutrition therapy needs or healthy lifestyle needs, anything like that. So I give you an opportunity to book a free call with me, and then we talk about your struggles, your health problems, and then I, if you're interested in my services, then I ask you to go ahead and fill out a medical history form and things like that, and then the person can buy my program.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I love it.
We've been visiting with Jennifer Tarani, a registered licensed dietitian. You can go to her website. That is Archaic Nutrition and Lifestyle, ARCHAIC, nutritionandlifestyle.com. The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Luis Sainz.
Support for local production of The Weekend on KTEP comes from the estate of Maxie Templeton.